Haven of Hope Church, a true Pentecostal church with outward and upward praise and worship of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. In the coming fulfillments of the prophecies of the Scriptures, the sea of humanity, in need and without hope, will flood our church. As God has promised in a word to us, if you remain faithful to me, I will remain faithful to you. With that promise in mind and the word that God has given us, we now know that Jesus Christ, through His church, has become the haven of hope for the hopeless. Haven of Hope Church, bringing hope to the hopeless in a hopeless world. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.
Welcome to Hope for the Hopeless, the sanctuary ministry of the Haven of Hope Church of God at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont. We pray the day finds you blessed and highly favored of the Lord. The Scripture says to give honor where honor is due and tribute to whom tribute, and we'd like to take this opportunity to say a very special thank you to Save News Network for making this ministry opportunity available to us here at the Haven of Hope Church. The following service is from our Sunday morning church service. It is indeed a joy and privilege to welcome you to our service this morning. It shouldn't take long at all for you to discover that the Lord has ordered your steps today to one of the best churches you've ever been. The people here are all about loving and caring about your family. Before you leave today, you will have discovered that you have new friends and that God loves you. Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803, Streaming Plus license, A20958810. And we're all just home folks, and we're all just family of God. But all together we'll be having church and praising and worshiping God together, as well as being fed the Word of God. It is our continued prayer that you're blessed of God, and may you be blessed by these services. If you need me for anything, please don't hesitate to call upon me, Pastor J. Mac Taylor. Now here's the message on Hope for the Hopeless from the Haven of Hope Church.
I had a message prepared. I wrote it Monday for tonight. This afternoon, the Lord said, "No, you're not doing that." I know. So I went home and I wrote another one. As I just walked up to the pulpit, the Lord said, "No, this is where you're going." You know what, saints? I am not a control freak. I don't care whether I get to preach what I prepared or whether, I would rather the Lord have His way.
Amen.
Somebody say amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Does anybody else feel a sweet, loving, warm presence of the Holy Spirit in this house? Glory, glory, glory. John 3:16 says, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I preached yesterday about the train bridge operator. Some of y'all weren't there, so you didn't hear it. Some of you were there, and you didn't hear it. Back in the 40s, there was a certain way that they had bridges of going across the rivers for trains. Today, we see them as drawbridges. They didn't have them all over the place back then. But back then, there were bridges that had a big pole in the middle of the river, and the bridge rotated like that. Most of the time it stayed so that the boats could go through without their sails hitting the bridge. But there was a train bridge operator, and he had a little building on the end of it, on the end of one of the bridges, one side of the bridge. And he would go in there when it was time for a train to come through, because he always had the train schedule. When it was time for the train to come through, he would flip his switches and crank his crank and pull the levers and all that, and that train bridge, you start hearing it clankety, 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 clank. It would start moving and locking. It would move into the place so that the train could cross over, and all the boats would have to stop. It would move around, and it would lock down on one end, and then it would lock down on the other end. if it didn't lock down, the train would derail. And so he would, that was his job. He waited there all day long, sitting in that little booth. Sometimes no trains would come through, sometimes two or three trains, some days it would be all trains. But he sat there in that little booth, waiting for a train to come through so he could move the bridge. One day in the summer, he went to the bridge, and he had to take his little boy, his four-year-old little blonde-haired son, because he didn't have a babysitter that day. So his four-year-old son went with him to go sit in the train bridge, went to work with Dad. Amen? And they were sitting there, and he was talking about it. Well, that day it wasn't going to be real busy. As a matter of fact, the only train that was scheduled to come through that day was the 4:15, coming out of some big metropolis area. And he sat there and he waited, kept checking his watch, 4 o'clock, 4:05. About 4:10, he started looking up to see if he could see the smoke way off in the distance. Sure enough, way off in the distance, he could see that little tiny puff of smoke. Had a few boats coming through, and he decided, he said, I can let these last three through. And when that one goes through, I got just enough time to get that train bridge locked into place. So he was sitting there watching the train, watching the boats. Sure enough, he was right. He had it timed just right. The boat come through, the last boat come through, and he started flipping the switches and turning the cranks and pushing the levers, and all of a sudden, clankety, 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 big old train bridge started moving into place. And on the end he was on, it locked down. But on the end that he wasn't on, it didn't lock into place. And he knew that if he didn't go down there and lock it, there's a manual lever. He could go down there and pull it down and lock it into place, and it would lock it down. If he didn't do that, that 4:15 train was going to wreck. And there was 215, 225 passengers on that train. So he knew, he said, I got just enough time, I can run across the bridge and I can grab that lever and I can pull it and lock it into place. And I can be a hero, I can save all 225 of those people, they won't never know it. So he took off running across the bridge. Got to the other side, he could hear the 4:15 coming and it was getting up close, about 100 yards away. And he reached up and he grabbed that lever and he pulled it down, and when he pulled it down, it wouldn't latch. And if he let it go, it would pop out. He said, I can pull it down and hold it down. He could pull it down. If he could pull it down and hold it down, it would lock that bridge in place. And the 4:15 train would go through, and he, boy, I am a hero now. I'm holding that 4:15. I'm holding this thing down, and the 4:15 is going to go over. I have saved all their lives, and they didn't know it. And about that time, he heard the most terrifying sound he'd ever heard in his life. He heard his four-year-old little boy. Daddy, Daddy, where did you go? And he turned and he looked and he saw his little boy running across that bridge. Daddy! He looked at him running and he turned and looked at the 4:15, and there was no way that he could get to his little son, pick him up and come back and hold that lever down in time to save the train. He had a bad choice to make. If I go rescue my son, 225 people and that train are going to die and be demolished. It was a terrible, terrible decision for him to have to make. And he was fighting with it. He didn't have any time to do anything else. 225 people had no idea that their lives were in such danger. 225 people had no idea when they passed by that he was holding down that lever. 225 people had no idea of the tragedy and the loss that man had just suffered that day. The 225 people didn't see the tears streaming down his face as he was holding that lever down. And when the train passed by, he held on, afraid to open his eyes. afraid to look and see what had happened to his little boy. Finally, he worked up the nerve to open his eyes and let go of the lever. And he looked down into the river. Laying at the edge of the river was the body of his little four-year-old son. What was he going to do? The terror and the grief that had struck his heart and his mind was overwhelming. He walked down to the edge of that river. He picked up his son, cradled him in his arms, held him tight to his chest, and wondered, what am I going to do? What am I going to do without my little boy? My only son, what am I going to do? Nobody on that 415 train knew the heartache he was suffering. Nobody on that 415 train knew the torment that was going through his mind as he was walking down that dirt road towards his house, carrying his little boy. What am I going to tell my wife? What am I going to do without my little boy? Can you imagine the heartache and the grief and the pain that that man suffered by sacrificing his only little boy to save all those people? Now, can you imagine the heartache of God the Father when he looked down on his son hanging on that cross? He had given his only begotten son so that all of us may live. Can you look at it that? I know how much he had to love Jesus because he was part of himself. Amen? And if he loved Jesus that much, that he sacrificed him for me. He sacrificed him for you. How much does he love you? We go through our lives day by day, sometimes barely even acknowledging that God is there. But he's always there. He's everywhere you go. He follows you. He goes with you. He stands there with you. Hallelujah. The story is told there was a youth play way back in the 90s or 80s when I got saved. In the play, they would have a young man playing Jesus. And there'll be another young man who was supposed to be a brand new Christian. And the young man was getting ready for a party. And Jesus was standing there behind him while he was getting ready, trying to get his attention. But he couldn't get his attention. And then as he was getting ready, he walked into his room and put on just the right clothes to make all the girls crazy. Jesus was standing there trying to get his attention, and he wouldn't give his attention. Then Jesus went with him and followed him as he got in his car and drove to the party. Jesus was standing right there with him. The young man started walking into the party and he stopped a minute and he thought, is this something I want to do? And Jesus is standing there, right there with him, pleading, don't do this. The young man stood there, and finally he decided he was going in. He walked in the door, and Jesus walked in right behind him. And as he walked in, somebody handed him a cup full of alcohol. And as they handed him that cup full of alcohol, Jesus walked up closer to him and tried to get his attention. Somebody walked over and handed him something else he didn't need. Some young, scantily clad little girls come up walking up to me. The thought's going through his mind, I need to be here. I need to be doing this. And Jesus standing right there the whole time, pleading with him, don't do this. Finally, the young man went ahead and gave in. He gave in and started participating in all that sin. He gave in and started doing what he knew he wasn't supposed to do. And Jesus didn't leave him. Jesus stayed right there with him the whole time. He had walked away from the Lord, but he stood there. Finally, the young man got so wasted, so out of his mind, he got back in his car. Jesus walked up to his car, was getting ready to get in. And the boy drove off without him. And he drove out through the traffic and hit another car head on and killed them all. And Jesus was standing right there, weeping. Saints, wherever you go, whatever you do, you're not hiding nothing from the Lord. Because he's right there. He's right there with you. He's there when you love him, and he's there when you don't remember where he is. I can remember when I was a little boy. My mom and myself and my grandfather and my sister, we had a very terrible car accident. Me and my sister were in the back of a pickup truck with a camper shell. And we were on our way to Cherokee Mountain with my mom and my grandfather. And a man coming from the other direction crossed over the center line and hit us head on. Me and my sister, we were banged up. But my mom had the full force of the windshield hit her in the face. And it cut her eye open. She had glass in her eye. They took us to the emergency room, and I sat outside her room. Me and my sister sat outside her room where the emergency room were working on her. And I saw that doctor take that great big old needle and stick it down in her eye. That terrified me more than anything you can imagine. And then they started pulling stuff out with tweezers, pulling that glass out of her eye. And they covered her face, covered her eye. Her hip was damaged. She had broken her hip. And for a long time, she was in a wheelchair. And then after that, she was able to get up and walk around with a cane. Now, we had come back home. We were living over in Boswellville, right up on 301. Me and my cousin were out in the yard playing. And there was a family gathering. My grandparents were there, my uncles and my aunts. Me and my cousin were out in the road playing, riding our bikes and playing. And I thought it would be funny to pretend that I had a wreck on my bicycle and I was hurt, to see if my daddy would come take a look at me. And I said, Daryl, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to lay here wrapped around my bicycle looking like I'm hurt. And I want you to go tell my daddy that I had a wreck on the bicycle and I need help. He said, all right. Well, he went in the house, and I laid there in the road and wrapped myself up in that bicycle looking like I was hurt. And I looked up. I heard running down that dirt road, and I looked up, and there come my mama without her cane, running like a dog. And I thought right then, I'm going to die. Because my mama was absolutely terrified, screaming bloody murder, thought I was hurt. And I was like, Daryl, why did you tell my mama? He said, I couldn't find Uncle Jim. I said, well, that won't be playing. But when my mama reached down, she knew I was not hurt. She knew I had played a joke, but she reached down and grabbed me and pulled me close to her and hugged me so tight I thought I couldn't breathe. Because she loved me so much, she was so glad that I wasn't really hurt. She was terrified because we'd just been in a wreck 2 months ago or a month ago. There's nothing like the feeling of having your mom and your dad reach down when things are going bad and you've injured yourself, when you've fallen and scraped your knees, we have to put it with the kids. And having your mom and dad reach down and pick you up and pull you close and say, I love you. Can you imagine that right now? I want you to do this with me. I want you to imagine that you have fallen and injured yourself. And whether your mom and dad are still here or not, it don't matter. But I want you to imagine you've fallen and you're hurt and you need help. And all of a sudden, here comes mom or here comes dad, and they reach down and they grab you and they pull you close You do that with me. Wrap your arms around yourself. Do it with me right now. Wrap your arms around yourself. Imagine Mom's holding you. Holding you close. It's all right. Everything's going to be okay. I love you. Hallelujah. Now I want you to do this with me. I want you to remember where you were when the Lord saved you. What kind of life you were living and what kind of eternity you had waiting you. You were headed to hell. And he died on that cross, a painful death, an agonizing death, for the sole purpose of making sure you didn't go. And your heart is aching because of the lifestyle you've led and the hurt that you've experienced because of it. And he reaches down, he pulls his hands off that cross and reaches down and wraps you up. Put your arms around yourself one more time. And imagine Jesus holding you, loving you, wrapping you up and saying, it's all right. I've made it okay. It's all right. You're not going to suffer that. It's all right. I love you. Listen to him say it to you. I love you. Now say it back to him with me. I love you. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Think about his love. Think about his grace. Think about how much he actually cares about you. Amen. Think about the fact that he's always with you. Wherever you are, and all those despicable things that you still do, he's still right there. He still loves you, and he's still reaching out to you, pulling you. Please. 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 Let me hold you. Please don't do that. Please come. Let me hold you. Are you feeling that right now? If you are, I want you to imagine this. The Lord is right now at this altar. And he's got his arms open wide. And he's calling to you. Please. Please come to me. Let me put my arms around you. Let me draw you close. If Jesus was standing here right now with his arms open wide and calling you and saying that, what would you do? Would you come up here and let him wrap his arms around you? If you would, I want you to come and do that right now. Would you come and let the Lord wrap his arms around you and hold you? Let him show you his love and you show him yours back. Amen. Would you come?
Our worship music is covered by our CCLI copyright license, A20958803. A Streaming Plus license, A20958810. We thank you for joining us for Hope for the Hopeless on Save News Radio. Join us each week on the air or at the Haven of Hope Church at 289 Acock Dairy Farm Road in Fremont, North Carolina, just off Highway 222 between Kinley and Fremont, and just off Memorial Church Road just outside of Fremont, North Carolina. Service times are Sunday school at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., Kids Storm Children's Church at 11 a.m. in the Youth and Children's Center, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m. with the fellowship dinner following service in the fellowship hall each Sunday night. Tuesday night old-fashioned prayer and deliverance service at 7:40 p.m. and Wednesday night youth church at 7:30 p.m. or on our Facebook page at the Haven of Hope Church group page. Come and join us at the Haven of Hope Church, Hope for the Hopeless in a Hopeless World. Your hope is here. His name is Jesus.